being tied at Houston for first place, like, in ecstasy for just a moment there. You're like, you know, is this real? We knew we were going to have a rope off after to see who won it.
Welcome back to the King Division podcast. Today's a cool, very fun episode. Today I have Brayden Harris on the pod. What's up, bro?
Not much.
Bro, we've been... So y'all haven't seen Brayden in a while, but he's basically the last 400 days just been rodeoing, you would say.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's
just
for sure.
Been at that grind, bro. Yeah. Chasing them checks.
Yep.
Direct deposit, cash, check, however they want us to... Venmo, I mean...
However they want me to pay them for a long time, that's
yeah, I mean, however you want to send me the money. I mean, we're out here trying to make a couple bags in this on this rodeo trail. Last year, I got to travel with Brayden and Ty, and we made a lot of memories. And there's been a lot of growth in both of our lives, Brayden's life. And Brayden, just to fill people in, I mean, you've been on one podcast since we got back. We took 8 months off on the podcast. You got on Baptist to Charismatic, that first podcast. Just fill the people in, bro. How was last rodeo season? Everybody knows you're back in rodeo. And if you don't know, if you're new, Brayden is a full-time rodeo athlete. That's how he makes his living. He basically gambles for a living. And so it's hedged bets, of course, on his skill. Tell the people how last rodeo season went.
Yeah, so, I mean, last rodeo season was hard. I had a decent start, kind of just after the decent start, just had a long grinding year, and it was, didn't accomplish the things I wanted to, learned a lot. I mean, you can't help but to learn a lot when you're out there, you know, being at a rodeo every day, it's just hard. And so mentally, mentally, everything, you gotta, you know, how to be prepared for the next run and enjoying your life as a Christian person, and all those things. And you're just always trying to be the best version of what God created, you know what I mean? So I think you're always trying to find that balance and, you know, what God wants you to be like, what God wants you to do. So
I mean, for the rodeo community who knows Brayden Harris, I mean, they know you came back last year, and we know if you follow rodeo, it was not the rodeo season you expected by any means.
Yeah.
Kind of went not great.
Well, I think that's the thing. Like, there's 15 guys where the rodeo season went as it was expected, and everyone else, it was a different expectation pretty much, you know, and, you know, you experience the failure and you experience the heartache of, not accomplishing what you want to. But like we've talked about, I think that just as much of whenever I win, it's God, it's just the same amount that whenever I lose, it's God. And hopefully finding the God in everything and that, you know, hopefully he's producing, you know, the character in me to become the type of person he wants me to be. And he's really so much more concerned about you know, the man I become than my net worth.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's actually well said. So we know your standard is to make the NFR. I mean, that's every Cowboy standard, especially because Ty's made it 6 times, correct? Was it 5 or 6?
5.
5 times. You grew up and you've roped. It's kind of crazy because, you know, me growing up around here, been around all these NFR Cowboys when you and Ty were younger. Tough Cooper came out here sometimes. Cody Ole came out here sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just all, many more that I don't even know about came out here in a rope. So you were brought up for NFRs, then to not make the NFR. What do you think is the greatest thing you learned last year?
I think there's, you know, seeing places that you weren't good enough, seeing places that, and you know, the main reason I didn't make it last year is just I wasn't good enough at calf roping. But I think that's, you want to hide from that as much as you can, but that's just the reality. And so looking at that, seeing that I need to get better, and, you know, I think that's just life though. You see areas of your life, you're like, man, that, you know, that part of my life is an area I need to grow in, and I need to get better about that. And, you know, it's not something that should bring you down. It's just something that, you know, you see, and there's a lot of fun whenever you can, you feel like you come out on the other side of that and that you actually have improved in those areas. That's the beauty of the Christian life. You're always getting to improve on the things that God, you know, places on your heart, places on your life, to get better at. And, you know, roping is no different. You know, you have those areas you see that you didn't do well, and you get to assess those in the off season.
Bro, the greatest thing that I've seen it in Ty, I've seen it in myself, and I've seen it in you too, is learning how to be yourself and have fun amidst being in a sport that is so, I mean, it's very much a mental sport, mm-hmm. but like you get so caught up in the rat race of rodeo and how you're on to the next, where am I in the standings, yeah. always going, mm-hmm. learning just how to be, I mean, you're 21, I'm 24, bro, we're college age, young adult yeah. kids still. Yeah. I mean, like, have fun for crying out loud. And yeah. I've seen you grow in that and kind of just mold and like whatever, however I'm performing. Yeah, I'm going to have a good time, or at least try to.
Yeah, I mean, it's very stressful, but at the end of the day, I'm working as hard as I can. I'm in practice. I'm as focused as I can possibly be. And so I can't, you know, do any more for myself. And, you know, me and Cole talked before Houston, which we'll get into more later. But, you know, the mindset for me doesn't change after or before. It was, I'd done all the things that I can do, you know, whether I come out on top at the rodeos is kind of irrelevant. I mean, to my mental state and what I think about my roping, whether I'm good at it or not, you know, like it's not relevant, because all I can do is prepare and prepare myself mentally and then have fun at the rodeos and enjoy life, you know. And if my best isn't good enough, it's at least I'm giving my best effort. You know what I mean?
What you say in what you said to when we were talking, you're like, I know where I've gone wrong. Basically, you're like, I wasn't that good at roping last year. You were good, but you're like, I wasn't good enough. Well, everyone knows where you're
and
saying.
It's more complicated.
Because you have all those techniques. Yeah. There's so much goes into calf roping.
Yeah, I would say like my best runs were still good enough to go against the best guys, but I was obviously not nearly consistent enough at making my best run. That's the difference between the top guys in the world. They make that run very consistently, right? And you know, I might not be the fastest guy in the world or whatever, but at the same time, if I make my best run consistently, you know, it's good enough.
You're in the spots,
right?
Every time.
Right, right. So it's not to say, you know, I was the worst ever, you know, uh-huh. or whatever. I was just a bum. It was more so tightening areas and tightening a consistent mistake I would make or whatever. But, you know, I still felt like last year, the places I did make my good runs, I won money. It's not like I was, you know, out of my element in areas. You know what I mean?
So. No, you just started watching that TB12 doc. that TB12 yeah. doc. He didn't hit his prime till 23, 24.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So I mean, I'm hitting my stride, right? We're hitting our stride right when we need to. You know what I'm saying?
No, for sure. For sure. I think there's something to that, I mean, you look at a lot of good athletes. I mean, there's not a set deal. I mean, yeah, Haven Majid won the world his first year. Riley Webb wins the world his second year. I mean, look at other guys that, you know, peaked later. You know, Caleb Smith won his first world title when he was, I don't know, 25, 26, 27, something like that. And you see in every sport, Tom Brady, late bloomer, didn't even start for his college team all 4 years. You know, gets his chance in the NFL from a guy being injured when he's 24. I mean, that's just a part of sports that the only thing you can control is your determination, your preparation, your focus. So, you know, whether, you know, the outcome you want happens or not, you know, it's a little bit, though it is in your control, it's a lot less in your control than what you do on your day-to-day is what I should say.
Okay, so let's get to Houston, Texas. Everyone who's probably clicking on this podcast, or majority,
yeah,
have heard or seen about a little bit of Houston, Texas.
Put a timestamp on it so that people know.
Yeah. I just learned how to do that last podcast.
Yeah.
So timestamps are back, are here for the first time. Can you? I don't even know how to ask the question. I guess narrate it for us. I mean, it was. I mean, how do you even want to talk? How should we even talk about this?
Recap your runs and what led up to it.
Just do the final day. Okay. Recap what happened Sunday, March 17th in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, so Sunday, you're 10 a.m. We tied the calves. Got Cole came along.
Yep. I was there.
The wife had McKaylin there.
McKaylin was there.
She's enjoying life too. And exciting part was Cole came, and it'd been a while since you'd done a rodeo deal, which is a video in itself. But yeah, tied the calves, and we thought, man, all these calves are great. And just excited, like, you know, I don't know. I guess I just woke up and me and Cole talked about it for hours. We're just excited. I was just excited to rope. I mean,
your exact words were, I mean, it's hard to get up for some of these days now. You just need a little stimmy. Yeah, I mean, roping in front of 70,000 for 50 grand, it'll get you up.
You feel it the whole day. Like, you wake up. I mean, I would say I slept for, 6-7 hours, and it was, I was just ready to go. Like, I was ready to rope. Yeah. And so anyway, let's just say when we get there, take a look at my calf. It wasn't a favorite calf. They're all good calves though. And see when I'm up and everything. And so, but we had a little bit different, preparation for this run, because me and Ty are both riding the same horse, Olmo, same horse that Ty won the American on. And so, yeah, I'm breaking down with Ty what calf he has, and we're going
watching
over
the video.
Yeah, we're calling, the people that had our calves, and this, that, and the other. And so, anyway, well, about 30 minutes before the run, you're just back there, ready to go, and, just trying to soak in the moment as much as you can while mentally preparing for your run. And when our event started, start out pretty rough. Like, how many no times to start? Two no times.
He broke out. John Douch missed. Missed. Shane Hanchey's calf got up, and then you were.
Yeah. Oh no, Ty was third or fourth.
Ty was third. He got a 9-7. Yeah. Then Hanchey's calf got up.
Yeah.
So. Two times. Ty was leader after five runs with 9-7.
So the roping was a little bit messy, which I think is somewhat attributed to the fact that
we had
high stakes, but also we hadn't roped this breed of cattle in a finals before at Houston. And it had seemed that some of the calves were leaving a little bit less sharp than they had in early rounds. So people were getting out, breaking the barrier. The calves were lost. They didn't know where they were at. And so I'm going in and I'm thinking I need to beat Ty's run to get back. I mean, I think I'm back if I beat Ty's run and I score, hit the barrier great, rope him, and get a little bit of a funky go, and my calf kind of runs around on me a little bit and miss my hooly a little bit. I think after I rope, I'm thinking I'm probably not going to make it.
And you wore it on your face too. I mean,
yeah, I was not happy about it. And Riley goes, he doesn't do well.
Well, so let's set it up actually. So
yeah,
Shane's calf ends up getting up.
Yeah.
Which we don't really know that till two guys later when Boyd tells us. So I think you're in fourth, but you're really in third. So it comes down to, or you're in second or third. I mean, I'm sorry, you're in third or fourth. And it's like Riley, Marty, and Shad left.
Yeah.
Three dogs.
Yeah.
And then you can go from there.
Yeah. So I was third with those three guys left.
Yes.
Which I knew. And So Riley, he goes out and he doesn't have a good run. He breaks the barrier. And at that point, I'm thinking, you know, my chances probably went from 30% to 40 or 50% at this point, even with Marty and Chad being, you know, two of the best guys in the world. There's just so many variables to account for. Marty goes out. He makes a great run, ties his calf in 8-9.
Bumps you to fourth.
Bumps me to fourth. And after that, I'm
only four advance. Yeah.
After that, I think, well, Chad's, I mean.
It's hard to bet against Chad. How good he's been roping.
The odds are down to, you know.
I mean.
My odds are down to 10%, I would say, going into Chad's run, just because of, again, variables, calf ducking back, the uncontrollables. Not that I would believe Chad would make a mistake, but just you have a calf stumbling. When you have that breed of cattle, you know what I mean? Mistakes happen.
Yeah,
so,
it's rodeo.
Yeah. Anyways, controversial call happens.
So Chad's roping.
Yeah.
He goes, and it's a jerk down rule implemented by the Cowboys, yeah, which Boyd always says that if it's between 10 and 2 and you rope them and it jerks them over straight back, it's a rule to protect the cattle because it is a rough sport, and the most dangerous for the calves is when you jerk them over straight backwards. And so Chad goes and ropes, and it's the rules in between 10 and 2, right? And
yeah,
so it's probably at 10 and 2. It was close.
So when I watched it, I honestly didn't think it was. I didn't think it should have been a jerk down.
It looked. I mean, I don't know that great. And from the eye test, it looked.
So it was the type of deal like he roped him, he drug his slack outside, and then he kind of rolled it back inside. And when it was down his back, I was like, oh, it's, you know, it looks like it's about to be a jerk down. And then the way the calf fell, I was like, I don't think so.
I mean, how do you, yeah.
Yeah, I just.
But they called jerk down off the rip.
Like, if it happened to me, I wouldn't have been like real excited about it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah,
I would have been like, yeah, are we serious? You know what I mean? But
like that one time your calf got up one time like 5.9 seconds last summer.
Yeah.
And if they had to stay down to 6, you were hot.
Yeah. That's a whole different discussion.
Whole different rodeo. Anyways,
yeah.
Go
whole
ahead.
Different discussion. Anyway, so I wouldn't have. I totally get the frustration of where Chad was coming from. Pretty tough call. I mean, it's just one of those deals.
But we go. So I'm in the stands. I'm filming. I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
I think it's a jerk down. I mean, Braden's in. He's fourth place, top four advance.
Yeah.
I run downstairs, and it's Marty, you, Brogan was right there, and I don't know who else was there. Maybe Sherman was there, but. Y'all are sitting there talking, and I thought it was a lock, but it wasn't a lock. They actually went back, and they kind of reviewed it.
So, we just didn't know.
Y'all just didn't know.
We didn't know. Chad was trying to get them to review it because Houston had basically installed a replay. But when you install a replay system like this, I mean, the NFL has been doing it for how long, and they still, it's like, sometimes you're like, what, you know, what's going on?
It's true.
Like, what, can you replay that?
The replay just opens up a whole new sort of set of problems.
Exactly. And it's like, well, what are you using? The Cowboy Channel video? That doesn't show the jerk anyway. You know what I mean? So basically what's reviewable by being able to see is the barrier line and those things that cost Bo Cooper last year. So apparently they did look at it right after it happened, right after Chad, and it was done after that. But I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. And, you know, the way it looked to me, I didn't think it was. Other people did. You know, I'm not out there to be the guy that's dishonest, like, oh, you know, whatever. And, like, you know, I'm no more have the privilege of, you know, having the whatever, being on the right side of the calls than, you know, a world champion. So, and I told Chad, I said, honestly, when I saw it, I didn't think it was. And I mean, I would be trying to review it too, or whatever their rule is. I would be trying to go to every extent I can to make sure that.
For 50, dang right.
Yeah, I'd go to every extent I can. So I slip in there, make a run that wasn't very good. And, you know.
So what are you thinking after? So after you get in, you go to the back, you find out you're advancing. What are you and Ty talking about? What's the energy? What happens?
So, I mean, obviously the whole deal of, like, I mean, it's just a lot of, to me, it's like a lot of emotions, because I'm just kind of like, I'm not getting wound up thinking I'm in until I know for sure. And so, but once I knew I'm in, I see my draws, see who had them, who have my final round calf, and I'm calling them and everything. And I think it was just kind of like overwhelmed with emotions for the first like 20-30 minutes, and just like, you know, was figuring it out, like, okay, like, you know, you're in, it's good, everything, and you have, you know, you have an opportunity nonetheless. However you got here, you have an opportunity. And whether your last run was like you wanted it or not, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you have this next run, that's it. And so I get the video of my calf. I really like him matching up well with the way my horse works, and that I'm going to have to be first out. And anyway, so bull riding gets over.
So you're waiting around for six events.
Waiting around 45. For six events, just kind of sitting on it, thinking about it, you know, just, and the excitement starts to, I mean, juices were flowing. Like, it was just like, you know, very surreal. Like, you can taste that opportunity for 50,000. I mean, it's right there. And so I go out, and I'm waiting to run my calf. You know, let's just say calf open event's about to start, and they do a little introductory deal for Bob Tallman. It's a 4 or 5 minute deal. I'm sitting there, rope tied on, about to ride in the box. You know what I mean? Just thinking about trying to win 50,000 at Houston, and ride in the box. We have a great game plan for the calf. You know, see my star, make my perfect run, you know, make the best run I can make.
Blasted.
Time in 8.2.
Blasted.
And to be honest, after my run, I was like, Marty and Ty, I was like, they can beat me, but I think I'm going to win it. Like,
that was the feeling.
Like, that was the feeling. Like, I'm going to win it. Just because, again, from the 10 round, all the calves starting different, just not being honest about the start, that it was super tricky. And the just the pressure from being in a 4-man round, I was like, there's a good chance I come out and I win it right here. And I'm like, but I'm aware of the guys with Ty, Marty, and Chance Thiessen, who's been roping as good as anyone this year. I mean, if anyone's going to do it, it's those guys, but it is hard to do. You know what I mean? I made maybe, you know, one of the best runs of my life. Like, so anyway, Ty's right after me. We're riding the same horse. He's throwing his stuff on. He's excited. It's just like a flurry of what's going on here. You know what I mean? Ty rides in and, I mean, makes an incredible run. Like, two more swings than I did. Turns the calf outside, wrapping the hooey. And we tied. Well, yeah. And just gets the crowd. It was just going crazy.
Ty went nuts.
Yeah. Crowd just went insane. And just like, you're in ecstasy for just a moment there. You're like, you know, is this real? Like, whoever wins, like, it's like, doesn't really matter at this point. We knew it was a rope. We knew we were going to have a rope off after to see who won it, but it was like, for that moment, we both had just, you know, accomplished what we were talking about doing for a long time. You know what I mean? We shared a moment of being tied at Houston for first place. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm still like holding out. I'm like, and Marty, he actually makes a good run. He's 8.7. He makes a good run.
I was worried he was gonna get it.
Yeah.
He looked fast.
Yeah.
He just ripped him too far
in
the arena.
Yeah. Marty goes out and he makes a really good run. And Chance had bad luck. He goes out and doesn't do what he wants to do, but come out and, you know, we have our little tiebreaker deal where me and Ty both rope one, and We don't even know the Cavs from then. And I break the barrier, just total knucklehead play. But it's kind of funny, you know, you have you live in an ecstasy for however, you know, a couple minutes for making a, you know, one of the best runs of your lives, and then you just run, you know, run through the barrier and just being an idiot, you know, right after. And so, and Ty went, you know, goes out and he does his deal. I think he would agree. Didn't do anything special, just tied his calf down in 9-6. It's the type of deal where who cares? Like, we got it done. We did what we wanted to do. We both we're walking home with all the, you know, all the money to be had.
$6,000 combined.
At Houston. By far the most money I've ever won. So, yeah, shout out to Houston for paying so much.
Shout out Houston Rodeo for paying so yeah. much, bro. Actually yeah. changing the trajectory of one's
yeah,
year.
Yeah, for sure. And for sure. I mean, that's the thing. Ty's, I mean, now he's knocking on the door of...
Now he's in a legitimate gold buckle
well,
chase
yeah.
for the first
well,
time
yeah,
in his
yeah.
career. I mean, there's a lot of rodeo left, but you won't
Yeah,
get...
I mean, for sure. And he's already knocking on the door of a 6 NFR, you know what I mean? Like, that's a crazy idea. That one rodeo, you know, if you have a little bit one before it,
in
one
March,
rodeo.
In March, he's knocking
yeah,
on his
he's knocking
already
on
qualifying
because right
that's
there.
What they say. But anywhere between 110, 115, you're going to qualify most likely. And he's already at 75. He's halfway there in March.
Yeah, over 20, halfway there. Yeah.
Over halfway there. You get 80 rodeos and he's only been to 19, 18, 20, something like that.
Less than. He's probably been to 12. Yeah, so.
Run it up.
So, yeah, needless to say, I think... just what an awesome time, Cole being there, whole family being there, just living the dream for a moment. So
it's actually crazy because I wasn't even supposed to be there. I was supposed to be in London. I was supposed to be in London for 30 days, which, like you said, is a whole video in and of itself. But crazy that first rodeo I've gotten to video and been at since September of 2023. It's been six, seven months. Electric. And the coolest part of the whole deal is literally for 3 weeks, bro, we're saying, bro, we said it for 3 weeks, no word of a lie. I said 75,000 because I thought second place got 25. I said 75,000 is coming back to our address. I'm not going to say it on the podcast, but I was like, 75,000 is coming back to San Angelo, Texas. And 86 came back to San Angelo, Texas.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy. I mean, no, so actually it was 87, but they added up the money from the whole rodeo. So
the whole rodeo, yeah.
I won 20 in the final round. Ty won 50 in the final round, sorry. But Ty had won 8 or 9,000 in the total before the final
series.
Round. And then I had won.
Bro, y'all sweeped them, dude. 8, y'all even 000. Won the guitars, too.
So, yeah, we also, except, yeah, the only way, yeah, I mean, pretty much, so... He won his series. I won my series.
Ty won his
he
semifinal.
Won his semifinal. I won second in my semifinal. And
no, that's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you can't write it up any better. I mean, so we have some. Ty brings home some hardware. I bring my guitar. He has his, you know, everything else. And
just to put it in perspective, too. You are sitting at 45,000, number 5 in the world at the time of the recording of this podcast. A lot of rodeo to go, but just so y'all know how good this is and how impactful Rodeo Houston is, you had 45,000 won August, 15th of 2023
yeah.
with a month, with 45 days left to go in the whole season you now have in March.
Yeah, it shows you how rough of a year I had last year too, but it shows you exactly how impactful Rodeo Houston is. I mean, it pays, you know, I won 27,000 and I won second in the rodeo. So, the most you'll win at another rodeo all year is 35 at Calgary. But like I was talking with, people earlier, I was saying winning second at Houston is like winning first at any other rodeo except for Calgary.
It's like winning, you told me first at Reno twice. How much is Reno?
It's pretty similar to winning first at Reno twice. Winning 27,000 is about around that. You know, people win, you know, might win 15,000 or up to 17, but pays rounds and those things, but pretty close to winning Reno twice. is like what it's like winning second at Rodeo Houston. So it's definitely a game changer. But like I was talking with Cole on the way back, it's, you know, it is what you make. I mean, 45,000 at, you know, at this point, it can, you know, people have been bled out and not make the finals with a lot won early a lot of times. And so, you know, you hope that, you know, you have the same preparation and same belief, and, you know, you hope to obviously have similar results going down the road going forward and, you know, produce differently than you did last year. But, yeah, you can definitely say that I've had a lot better start this year than what I had for a long time last year.
Well, I'll say, dude, it's just, they're the ones competing, but we've been talking about it a lot, dude. You got to give God the glory, because the odds of tying exactly 8.2 any time of any rodeo is statistically wild. I'm not going to say impossible, because it happened to you and John Douch in the Super Series, I think, or in the semifinal.
Yeah.
But for Ty and Braden at the biggest rodeo of the year, I mean, only two rodeos pay that much, to tie exactly and to have, like, honestly, the spotlight on them.
Yeah.
And everyone cheering for them like that. I truly think God's hand was orchestrating the whole deal, and just behind the scenes things that y'all don't even get to see. I believe that. Anyway, long story short, we got to give God the glory, and without Jesus, none of this would be possible.
It really is incredible. I mean, to both make it to the semifinals is cool. To both make it to finals is crazy. To both make it to the final four is insane. To both tie and rope off together in the end is like, unfathomable. So I totally believe it was God, and, you know, giving us that awesome moment to go together and do those things. And so, pretty awesome.
Can you tell us about your infamous 2-year mission trip where you ghosted everybody and you fell off the face of the earth?
Yeah. So, I know there's different.
Every rodeo announcer ever, he went on a 2-year mission for the whole
year. Yeah. I think that I was at Lifestyle Christianity, which some people that have followed the podcast for long enough know anyway. But I was at Lifestyle Christianity for 2 years. Or less than that, actually. I was there for a year. And before that, I just quit rodeo, and I was just in San Angelo living life. But I would say the year I spent in Fort Worth at Lifestyle Christianity was some of the most like impactful and just, what's the word?
Life-changing,
foundational parts of my life, parts of my faith. For those months, it changed my life for sure. And the ideas and that they put and set in stone in me, I've just grown upon. And that's all, you know, a lot of it just goes back to the basics of things that I learned there from amazing people. So in that time, I would say that it was God growing me.
Yeah.
More than anything else, it was just a time that God took away to grow me. And, you know, something I've talked about with Cole is that if I came back and I never accomplished all the things I wanted in rodeo, that time I took away that I felt like God called me away, it's 100% worth giving that up to know God the way I do now. So I'll definitely never have any regrets about that. And I know it was God calling me away. So how could you have regrets about something that God's calling you to do?
I think just to summarize, so a lot of the announcers, they say that he went on a 2-year mission. He really just quit rodeo for 2 years and went to a Bible college just to learn about the Lord. Nothing crazy. It's funny because every time someone says he went on a 2-year mission, I just imagine you like in a country, like serving, which is amazing. But I personally think you would still be as good as you would be if you wouldn't have taken off. One could say you'd probably be better. But where it's kind of crazy to imagine where you would be, like where you would be, not talking rodeo, but where you would be without taking those 2 years off. I mean, as a roper, you would be good. But who knows the direction your life would have changed, because you're such on a good path right now and the Lord just has you straight. That, bro, it's really crazy to think about.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
You know, who knows,
it doesn't really, I mean, it doesn't really, it's like, I mean, one of those questions, like, I mean, what God called me to do something, like, there is no other path to take. It's like, it's, there's no other option. I mean, I don't ask God why. I don't, you know, I don't beg for reasons. I just do things that he asked me to do, or I believe he's asking me to do. Not that I always have it right, but I know 100% that he called me to it. And it's not to say that I wasn't, I was already following God for months before I quit rodeo, you know. To those out there that it's not a necessity to quit rodeo, and it has nothing to do with rodeo, but it has to do more so with the people that I got to be around, that got to teach to me and preach to me, and the relationships that I got, and really just foundational things about Jesus and my life with him, my identity, the idea that I am righteous in the eyes of God. It changed my life, and it's something that I could never go back to, is any other understanding that could, you know, take me away from him and take me away from the loving, close relationship that I have with God. That's like friends, that's like, you know, your closest companion, is my daily life with God. But my eyes were truly opened up to that in that time. And I'm just living the same way now, and growing and being molded more and more. But foundational ideas, and most of the things that I came to then are just things that I just build off of now.
So as we wrap up, this will be the last question. What do you think is the greatest thing that you learned about God in your two years at Bible college?
Yeah, I think I just touched on a little bit, like, it's just I've said it before, it's the idea that, you know, we're dying and wait, you know, we're waiting until we die to get to heaven to have a fulfilled relationship with God. Understanding that God sees us the same way that he sees Jesus, because Jesus lived his life on our behalf. And when we believe in him, we're saying, all the things I've done, all the, you know, stuff that I've called upon, that I've tried to live in for fulfillment, Jesus, I want your life in place of mine. So I'm saying, God, I want you to look at me the way that you look at Jesus. And by the only way that that happens is me saying, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. I follow you. My life is dead. I'm totally yours now. Now I'm picking up my cross and I'm following you. And I think seeing that this is the gospel, right? The gospel is Jesus is eternal life, and you can have Jesus right now. You can live the fulfilled Christian life. You can be righteous and holy and just, not by what you've done, but by the fact that Jesus lived his life on your behalf, and you can call upon him and say, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, and I want to be your friend. And so all that to say, you know, God's whole plan was all along to take us back to the garden, which is him having a relationship with man, having, you know, community, having communion with man, and us being one with him. And so, yeah, that's my heart, that's my goal, and that's my mission, to say the least, that people would know God the way I do, who is someone that isn't looking for us to be good enough to get to him, but him being so good that he, you know, made his way to us. And the righteousness that he displayed by us understanding that we are, you know, we have become who, you know, his life, our ideas, the way we're looked at, we have become like him in righteousness and in, you know, whatever, that our attitude, our lives would change because of it. So, yeah, all that to be said.
Know Jesus as truly a lover. He loves us so much.
Mm-hmm.
And you put me on that, bro. I mean, God met me, but I've learned so much through this guy right here. Learning more about Jesus. I used to be this very religious, conservative guy. Started listening to the same people he's listening to. Then I became a softy who loves Jesus and weeps all the time and cries.
Yeah.
And I mean, this guy right here, if y'all get a chance just to talk to him in person, ask him about the Lord, and you'll be blessed by the conversations you get into.
Please do.
With that being said, congratulations to Ty Harris, bro. We're so proud of you, man, and so proud of the things. I mean, there's no one else that deserves it more than Ty Harris, one of the hardest working dudes I know. He's done so much for me, and we're proud of you, bro. So that's another episode of the Kingdom Vision Podcast. We'll see you on another episode. We'll see you next week. Make sure y'all follow along with Braden and how he does this season. Hopefully we'll be on podcasts throughout the summer, throughout the regular season. It's going to be a good year, bro. I'm excited to see what the Lord does. I'm excited to see what happens. And we'll start singing Viva Las Vegas, baby. Pretty soon. Pretty soon.
That'd be quite the time.
First NFR qualification, hopefully coming, bro. We'll see y'all in the next episode. God bless.